Hello and welcome to another episode of Podcast DX, the show that brings you interviews with people just like you whose lives were forever changed by a medical diagnosis. I'm Lita.
I'm Ron.
And I'm Jean Marie.
Collectively, we're the hosts of Podcast DX. On today's show, we are speaking with Dr. Anupama Verma. Dr. Verma is joining us today from Green Bay, Wisconsin, where she is a nephrologist. Dr. Verma is a world traveler and has lived on four continents. She will be speaking with us today about the importance of chronicling experiences. Thank you very much for joining us today, Dr. Verma.
Hello, Dr. Verma. How are you?
Hello. I am doing good and I'm happy to be here to talk to all of you. And I am, as you mentioned, a board-certified nephrologist. I live in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Everyone thinks of that as cold in winter, but right now it's warm and humid, close to 90 degrees.
Oh, geez.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's hot.
We're just a little bit south of you, so we understand where you're coming from.
Right, and Lita and myself have spent many a summer in Wisconsin working in the forest, and we've definitely lived through a few of your very brutal, hot summers.
Yes, it's beautiful here right now. Wisconsin has beautiful summers, hot, warm, and humid.
And actually, yes, we were just in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and we're marveling at the architecture and beauty of that city as well. But we do want to make it up to Green Bay. I understand, there's a couple things we want to see up there as well.
Yes, definitely.
Oh, well, Dr. Verma, I was wondering, have you always wanted to be a physician and a nephrologist, and how did you get into that specific career field?
Yes, that's interesting because, no, I did not always want to be a physician. I know most doctors always wanted to be a doctor and be a physician, and it's not the same for me, although I do come from a family of doctors. Everybody, my grandfather was a doctor, and I do talk about that in the book as well, in our recently released book, and so there was so much pressure to be in a science field, but I loved to write.
Okay.
And so I wanted to go into journalism, but this was more than 20 years ago. So more than 20 years ago. So there were not many women journalists who were on TV or on radio or reporters at that time. There were no mentors. And I was actually discouraged from doing that, saying you have to travel, you can't raise a family, how are you going to do it? And there were a lot of naysayers, so here I am.
Back in medicine.
Well, I'm sure all of your patients are thrilled that things worked out the way they did, but I'm sorry that you didn't have the positive support and reinforcement.
To become a journalist.
To become a journalist, yes.
Yes. And that's why mentors are so important. There was no one in my family, male or female, who was in the humanities. There was no way I could see it as a career choice other than what I wanted to do and maybe a few things here and there that I picked up from books and newspapers. And so, yes, that shows the importance of having mentors, of searching them out, which at that age I did not do, But I have no regrets, as I will tell you later.
Okay. And I'm sure that having a love of writing and being a physician is exactly why we're speaking to you today on keeping a chronicle of your work experiences. So can you tell us about why you think chronicling is so important in the healthcare industry?
Yes. Chronicling helps you to have clarity of thought, and sometimes, you know, you're doing so many things, so much busy work, and you can't really focus. And chronicling helps you to keep those thoughts that are most important forefront by writing them down. It becomes a vision almost just by writing things down. And if you can make it part of your morning meditation, you know, a few minutes writing every day, it's almost a form of reflection. Chronicling, and it helps you make decisions. It leads to improved decision making. When you write down everything you want or do or visualize, you can then prioritize too and prioritize your goals as well. For me especially, and I think especially in the healthcare field, it's a way of preventing burnout when you write your feelings down, because one of the things that helped me realize my own burnout was my loss of empathy for patients. I actually had to, when I started writing again, I was able to write what I was seeing and what they were feeling and then get in touch with my own empathy again.
Oh, wow.
So I think it's really important. So for me especially, it was a path to dealing with burnout and healing, yeah.
Well, and you said it helped you with the burnout and recognizing and, like, I guess expanding your view of your in how you looked at your patients. How else has it helped you personally on the personal side of things?
Personally, it helped me reflect on my past, the present, the now, and my future goals. It also became, like, most people want to have exercise or they actually meditate in the morning. For me, writing down was a form of meditation. So I have tried, meditating with beads and chanting and all that stuff, but it didn't, I have not been able to do it. But writing down clears my head, maybe the same way that meditation does for others, you know.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
And for me, that's where it helped me to write down something every day and to move, to forgive, to reflect, a form of accountability for my, to start out my day, a form of gratitude, like keeping a gratitude journal. Any thought that came to my mind, I would write it down and go from there. So it's not for everyone. I mean, some people would rather go for a run first thing in the morning, although you can do both, run and write. And, you know, or pray first thing in the morning, and that's, none of them are mutually exclusive.
Mm-hmm.
But I think journaling and just writing down for me helped me for personal growth and attract my own feelings and reflect on them and to plan my day as well.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I'm sure some of our listeners out there are thinking, hey, this sounds like a pretty good idea to start, you know, journaling or, you know, writing things down. What tips would you have for anybody out there who was thinking about starting to journal? Any recommendations on how to get started?
Yeah. Yes. I think journaling, and one thing I forgot to mention, it's also good for patients to journal because they can keep track of their symptoms and what flares their disease up, or their, you know, their problems and their, or even just their blood pressures or, you know, blood sugars, or how they're feeling, mental health and physical health. So the tips I have is for everyone is to just start writing. You know, don't try to be perfect. The more you, like everything, writing gets better with practice. There's the French philosopher and historian Voltaire who said that the best is the enemy of good. So, and just start writing. Don't try to make it your best work or your best piece. There's time for editing later. Get it out the door. Write an essay if you have an essay to write or a story. Anytime your idea comes up or you hear some nice quote that has meaning to you or someone says something, now we have the iPhone notes, so you can put something in there, you know, or if you carry a notebook around like I used to do before, then you can just jot it down and make something of it. And later, there's plenty of time for editing and making it better. But just write every day, make it a habit, you'll get better. I did not start out writing well, and when I look at my old work, sometimes I cringe even. <You know?
laughs> I'm sure everyone does. What forms might a written chronicle take? And I think the question is basically, is it a format like where you would put the date and the time and then whatever it is that you wanted to write down so that you can look back and have a schedule to go along with it? Or do you just jot down notes randomly? And
well, you could use like a diary form where you can have dates and you write them down. And that's kind of a good chronicle to have. And in fact, my father-in-law writes in a journal or a diary every day. And unfortunately, I cannot read it because he writes in Hindi. Even though he speaks fluent English, he's an engineer, but he writes in Hindi.
Okay.
And even though I was born in India, I didn't grow up there. So I cannot read Hindi, though I can speak it and understand it.
Okay. And I thought you were going to say you couldn't read it because it's his personal stuff.
Right.
You're
right,
saying you
right,
can't read it no. because you can't read it.
Right.
I can't read it.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. So, but one day I hope to have it translated and have it in a book form as a legacy for my children, his grandchildren, you know, and for future generations. So I think you could do that as a diary. You could have a folder. You could have a notebook, a pretty notebook, something with a quote on it, a meaningful notebook, or I think anything, or a file, a folder. I set it out with my children's school notebooks, these, what are they called, subject notebooks.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, and
their leftover notebooks.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, absolutely, yeah. And actually, I was, sorry, I'm having a moment where I can't think. Arthur Conan Doyle. He started writing in the old-fashioned, they would call them exercise books, but they were student workbooks. Yeah, and he has, all of his works were, that's where they were originally written down, in all of his notes from his adventures and his travels as well. And that just reminded me of that.
wow, that's fantastic. I feel I have something in common with him then.
Yes, and in the future, they'll be like, you remember, Dr. Verma's works were first written in one of those, the school notebooks.
Yeah. And I mean, J.K. Rowling started writing on a napkin.
Yeah,
in a
restaurant. That's true.
And Paul Simon has written several good songs on napkins.
I'm sorry, we're going to go off in a Paul Simon rant over here.
Napkins come in handy. I mean, I guess wherever you are, if the thought is in your head, the idea is put it down.
Right, and in this digital age, I think even using, images as well in integrating those can be helpful. So I guess what you're saying is whatever form it might take, it's good to the action is what's important.
All kidding aside, I mean, because this is something I struggle with, because I like to write things down from meetings or what have you. But if I don't write it down as soon as it happens and I go back, like this happened a couple hours ago and I'll forget.
Yeah.
And they might be little things, but they're key points. So, whether it is a napkin. I know we were teasing about it, but that or your phone. I mean, if you write it down, you have it there, and you don't have to worry about possibly forgetting it.
And we weren't kidding at all. If you look around here, there are notes on everything. Dr. Verma, how can keeping a written record help one professionally?
You can write down. It tracks your professional development, like you, what talks maybe. Like I like to give. Speaking, I like to speak, and maybe what talks you've spoken about, what topics you've spoken about, so that you don't repeat yourself also in a way, and so that you can go back to the archives and pick up from what there and add on for future talks. So it's even what you have read, like for CME, you don't want to do the same CME again because it's a waste of time, and which is time is so important, precious for everyone these days, especially physicians. Mm-hmm. And you can track your CME and what you have read, the journals you've read, important articles, how what they. I when I read articles, which I have a lot to go through, to keep up with my nephrology, medical stuff, I always write down some points, key points from that. And then I don't have to go back to the whole article. I just refer to those key points that I took away from the article. I have a notebook for that. I have a notebook for that. So that has been very helpful for me.
Okay. We've been talking about journaling or writing down, but you just mentioned about your work as a nephrologist. Can you share with our listeners, Dr. Verma, what has been your biggest challenges as a healthcare provider, and what did you learn from that experience? What can you tell us?
So there are different kinds of challenges that healthcare providers face. I mean, we knew that this job would be challenging before we went into it. I mean, everyone knows that it's going to be a challenging field, but some of the things that have come up on a broader level, like structural healthcare disparities, you know, dealing with racism and gender disparity in the healthcare field, poverty and socioeconomic issues, are things you don't think that you will have to deal with. That's on a broad level. On a personal level, I think finding work-life balance is the most difficult thing. You are dealing with people's lives, patients' lives. These are people, and you have to put them first most of the time. You have to put, it's a job like any other, but it's, you're dealing with living people who have feelings and hurt, and so you have to put them first. And in doing so, most of the time, you put your own self, your own health, mental well-being, and your family's health and well-being at the back burner.
Okay.
And that is where I think the challenge is personally, on a personal level, trying to balance that and finding your way back from burnout and finding your way back so that you can give your best to your patients. If you're not well yourself, or you will not be able to give back to them the way they deserve.
Yeah. Thank you.
That was where I learned that, as I mentioned earlier, when I lost my empathy was when I knew that I had to fill my own cup a little more. And I feel like I am a much better doctor now. I care more, and I always cared, but I lost it somewhere in between, you know, and I have found it back again. So that was, I don't want to lose it again. So I'm taking care of myself so I can take care of them, of my patients.
Excellent. Dr. Verma, have your family or friends been there to support you through your entire career?
Yes, definitely. I could not have done it alone. and it's just that way, especially because I had children. I had my son in residency, and I talk about that in my book as well, and my stories and my chapters in the book. And I had my son during residency, and residency was brutal. This was when resident hours were not regulated, just they were about to be, but they had not been done then. So I had my mother and my mother-in-law help me to look after him as a baby, which was very important for me. During fellowship, I had to make presentations every week as a fellow in nephrology. It's a very data-driven field, and we had to present talks every week. So I had, my husband would help me with the PowerPoint. I was very technologically disadvantaged.
Oh.
And this was so many years back when, you know, technology was still coming out, PowerPoint presentations were starting. And so my husband was good with that. So he would help. I would, of course, provide the content, but he would help me put it together. So, and he was a big supporter. I have to say, I could not have done it without his encouragement to do the fellowship.
Excellent.
Without his encouragement, yes. And friends. I have friends both in the medical and non-medical field, and I feel like my medical friends help. We have shared experiences, which is important. But in my non-medical field, it's nice to not talk about medicine sometimes, you know, just go out there and have fun and talk about other things besides medicine, even like fashion or, you know, politics or even movies or books or other things. So yeah, everything's important.
And Dr. Verma, what has been the best advice you've received, and what advice would you like to give to new physicians starting out their career?
Oh yeah, I have received a lot of advice over the years, and taken some and left some, but I think the most important thing is to learn to say no so that you can say yes, you know. So there's a life coach, I used to read her books, Rami Newstead. She talks about how you can have it all but not at the same time.
Okay.
So you wanna for the opportunities in your career, you wanna say no to some so that you can say yes to others, you know. And also you wanna stay empathetic for your patients. Never, always, I know it's a cliche that treat your patients like your family member, but it's a cliche for a reason. So yeah, you wanna stay empathetic, and you always want to learn. I always think I know enough nephrology. I've been practicing for almost, you know, over 15 years, close to two decades. I always think I know enough, but when I go back to read, I find out that, oh, yeah, I could have done this better. I could have learned it this way. This would have been easier. It's our obligation to keep up and be a learner always for our patients, our best interest. Yeah. So be a learner. Learn to say no so you can say yes and be empathetic. Yeah.
I think we have to employ that over here.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes. I agree.
Early in our conversation, you alluded a couple of times about the book. What can you tell us about the book, The Chronicles of Women in White Coats, that book series?
So The Chronicles of Women in White Coats was the brainchild of Dr. Amber Robbins. She is the founder of the book series, and I think she's kind of like a pioneer because people were writing, especially women physicians, where we generally face more degrees of burnout, having to manage child and home and the work. And they were sharing the stories on Facebook pages, groups. Mm-hmm. And she got the idea that why don't I get a book and have them share the stories in a book form? And with her background in media and journalism, she put out a call and sent some messages around, and many people responded, and I think 20 of them came together to make the first book. And I have to say that I did get a message, and at that time there were things going on personally and professionally that I declined the invitation to be in the first book. And of course, fortunately, I got a second chance, and I am here in The Chronicles of Women in White Coats too. So
fantastic.
I know. Yeah. So this time I said, no, I want to be, it became a movement. It became a blog. I contributed to the blog, and then they asked me to join the second book, and here I am. And so I have two chapters in this book. One is about stories and the importance of stories, how they empower and how they, you know, help you heal, and how you can learn from other people's stories as well and inspire others with your stories. And then I have a chapter, The Paradox Between Life and Death, where I talk about how I became a physician when I didn't start out to be one, and how I almost gave up an anatomy lab. So that's an interesting, fun chapter. So I hope you read it, and
absolutely,
your readers and your listeners.
Absolutely.
And your listeners read,
yes,
it too.
Yes.
And in this book also, we have the COVID Chronicles, because when this book was coming out, we had to delay the launch because of coronavirus, mm-hmm, and COVID-19. And so we were asked to write something for that. And for a while, none of us could, because it was so much going around. Healthcare workers were dealing with this new virus, that, mm-hmm, and many people were dying, and we were just numb and we couldn't write. But then most of us came and wrote something, and that was a step to healing too, to write it out there and have it there. So, yeah. So it's a great series book, and I'm very hopeful there'll be a book 3 and 4, because people's stories need to be heard.
Yeah. And I think it's a great resource for young people who might be considering, you know, going into the medical field, to see that doctors aren't just doctors, that they're people, and that, you know,
real life experiences.
Yeah, real life experiences. And I think it's, you know, it's great to have that as a resource for them as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. These are real life stories. So coming to you straight and from the heart, mm-hmm, really. And it's not, I know you people watch the medical television shows. I never watch them because I try to get away from that when I'm home. But I mean, there's Grey's Anatomy and ER. And I mean, these are real life stories, real and coming from the heart. Yeah.
That's, mm-hmm, fantastic. Thank you for, you know,
being part of that.
Yeah. We're excited to get our copy.
Mm-hmm.
And
great.
It sounds like something that would make a great gift as well.
Yeah. Very.
And how can we learn more about you, and how can we get our copy of the book?
Yes, the copy of the book is available on Amazon, and you have to go for look for book 2.
Oh, yes.
And you can also find it on the website, Chronicles of Women in White Coats. It's available on the website as well. And And you can find more of my I have done writing for Women in White Coats blog and Kevin MD and Doximity. You can search my name there. Otherwise, I am on Twitter and Instagram at AnuVMD. I also have a Facebook page, Journey in Medicine and Life. And you can find some of my writing there. And so look out. I hopefully will have more future writing projects as well. And send me a note, a DM, or on Instagram or Facebook Messenger if you need to reach out to me for speaking or writing opportunities.
Fantastic.
Great. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Verma, for taking time out of your busy schedule to sit and talk with us today. And, you know, after hearing all the benefits of journaling, I think I'm going to make that part of my daily routine.
I'm going to hold you to it.
Exciting. Yes. This for accountability. Yes. No, it was such a pleasure talking to all of you, Ron, Lita, and... I think, are there only two of us?
Jean Marie.
No, I'm in here too, but it's
Jean
okay.
Jean Marie is here.
It's okay.
Yes.
Ron Lee and Jean Marie. So thank you for having me on your wonderful podcast.
Well, thank you. We're looking forward to getting hold of the book and reading more about you.
And thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much.
If our listeners have any questions or comments related to today's show, they can contact us at podcastdx@yahoo.com through our website, podcastdx.com. On Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, or Instagram.
And if you have a moment to spare, please give us a review wherever you get your podcast. As always, please keep in mind that this podcast is not to be a substitute for professional medical advice or diagnosis or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or a treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regime. And never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you've heard in this podcast.
Till next week.